Thank you. And good afternoon. It gives me great pleasure to be with you here today. You are welcome and generous that he has deeply touched my heart. My happiness this afternoon is double. On one hand, I am particularly happy to have the chance to speak for the first time to the Canadian people about the Catholic Church, for as I will, during my presentation, about our Holy Mother Church. On the other hand, I am very pleased to be received in an institution as prestigious as Queen's University. Before I begin, I would like to express my admiration of your institution's motto, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of the times. I would also like to reflect briefly on the colors of your flag, red, blue and gold. To me, red symbolizes love and sacrifice. Blue symbolizes all that is pure and sincere, and gold the color of magnificence and glory. My address to you this evening will be based on four main discussion points. The first, establishment of the Coptic Orthodox Church by biblical and historical references. Second, contribution of the Coptic Church to humanity. Third, the Coptic Church today. And finally, four spiritual characteristics of the Coptic Church. First, establishment of the Coptic Church by biblical and historical references. I will focus here on what is particularly special about the Coptic Church, my Holy Mother Church, what makes it one holy, universal, and apostolic. Number one, prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 19, verse 19. Egypt was mentioned numerous times in the Holy Bible. It was mentioned in the book of Isaiah, chapter 19, verse 19. In the day shall be an altar in the Lord, to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and the pillar at the border there of the Lord. In my analysis, the word altar referred to the Christian faith that came to Egypt, our beloved country. The word pillar refers to the apostle that spelled out the face, the mark. I also wish to bring forward a verse from the book of Isaiah that always remember, blessed be Egypt, my people. Secondly, the flight to Egypt. Egypt's biggest blessing was a flight into Egypt, according to Matthew Gospel. When the many came to find Jesus, they went to Herod the Great and asked him where they could find the newborn king of Egypt. As Herod was the king of Jews, and because he did not see the difference between the kingdom and the heavenly kingdom, he became enlarged because he felt that his throne was threatened, and thus he commanded the massacre of the innocent in the hope of killing the newborn king of Jews. So angel appeared to Joseph and warned him to take Jesus and his mother to Egypt. Number three, Saint Mark the Evangelist, founder and considered the first patriarch of our Holy Father. The prophecy of Isaiah came true when Saint Mark the Great Emperor and the Apostle came to Alexandria in Egypt and preached and founded its church that brought Christianity to Egypt and all of Africa. I am privileged and honored that many aspects of our Coptic liturgy can be traced back to Saint Mark himself. Saint Mark wrote the shortest and the most concentrated gospel, where he used an abstract style. He is symbolized by a lion, and he has many titles, among which the Evangelist, the Martyr, the Apostle, and the Witness. Personally, and as a successor of Saint Mark the Evangelist, I can confirm that celebrating liturgy over the altar containing his relics in Saint Mark Cathedral in Venice was one of the most blessed and glorious moments in my life. I have just briefly highlighted the special aspects that have contributed in making our church one, holy, universal, and apostolic. Indeed, like our of Christianity in Africa and the East. The point number two, contribution of the Coptic Church to humanity. The first contribution is theology and theologian. When you read in the history, the ecumenical history, we never forget the great contributions of our church in the field of theological studies. This kind of study was established officially and in a scientific way in the school of Alexandria. The school, according to Saint Jerome and many other references, was initiated by Saint Mark the Evangelist. It was considered to be the first and most famous theological school in the Christian history. This school grew in them under the leadership of a long list of Greek scholars like Martinus, Climent of Alexandria, Didymus, the Lion, the Origen, that produced about 6,000 works according to Epiphanius. From another perspective, the Church of Alexandria provided Greek fathers to Christian world, who protect the Orthodox faith in the purest apostolic form, like Athanasius, Contramontum, that defeated the heresy of Arius and Kyrellus, the Greek who defeated the heresy of Nestorius. The Church of Alexandria and its father had a major rule in the Orthodox dedication. That is why it held the title of ecumenical master. The second contribution of the Coptic Orthodox is the martyrdom and martyrs. Tertullian, the early Christian author, wrote, "If the martyrs of the whole world were put on one arm of the balance, and the martyrs of Egypt on the other, the balance will tilt in favor of the Egyptians." Martyrdom never stopped in our history. Our Coptic calendar started from the regime of the Byzantine Emperor Diocletian at 284 Anno Domini. And we put our Anno Martyrs calendar. Many martyrs bless our church up to this day, peacefully giving up their life for the church. These martyrs are people like you and me, who belong to every category in the society. The list has many Greek names, that are well known everywhere. You will remember of them Saint Milan, Saint Catherine of Egypt, Saint Abanou, who was a child about 12 years, Saint Miniana, and many others. What is worthy of noting here is that the martyrs of strength in our faith, our love for the Christ the Lord, and our relation to our Church. The third contribution of the Coptic Church to the humanity is the monasticism. Every monk in the world owes his monastic life to our Coptic Church. That third monasticism to the world. From our land came those who many holy men that we may call today Desert Father, Saint Anthony, the Greek father of all monks and all over the world, the first monk of all time that established this system. When he started his bath at the age of 20, till he became a master with many disciples. He left the desert twice, one at 316 to encourage the faithful not to fear persecution, the second time in 332 to support Athanasius, the Greek Pope of Alexandria, against the Hexagon, and from Egypt came also Saint Macarius the Greek, who established a monastic life in the Egyptian Western Desert. And finally, Saint Pachomius, the Greek, who was an Egyptian beggar. Then he became a monk and established monastic life in the southern valley of Nile River and many monasteries with the thousands of monks. Today at morning, we put the cornerstone of the first Coptic monastery in Canada. In Canada, carrying the name of Saint Anthony. The sweet odor of the life of Saint Anthony transferred from Egypt to Europe and then to Canada. This is very important day for us to establish the cornerstone of this monastery. Because the consecration is considered the indication of the vitality of our church, our Coptic Church. Our desert has always provided holy men. Up to this day, monasteries and monks are everything in Egypt. The third point, the Coptic Church today. As you know, the total population in the Middle East, about 300 million. Between 5% and 6% are the total of Christians. This means that the Christians, about 15 to 16 or more to 17. Christian William in Middle East. But the most great block of Christians are in Egypt, the Coptic Orthodox Church. For centuries, our Holy Mother, the Church, has been considered one of the main pillars of Egypt society, Egyptian society. Accordingly, it has various rules. Its primary rule and main responsibility has and will always be the spiritual life of the faithful. I will now elaborate on the primary and the other main rules of our Holy Mother, the Church. The primary rule is the spiritual one. Our churches are never empty. They are always full of masses, liturgical services, Bible study, meetings, and prayers evenings, either in Egypt or outside Egypt. Thousands of Christians visit monasteries weekly. Most of you are coming from the monastery, from the new monastery today. All over Egypt, additionally, our youth, families, and elders spend spiritual retreats in our monasteries. This continual and continuous practice is a clear form of God's grace for our Holy Mother, the Church in Egypt. This spirituality is ongoing every day, and here are some facts to provide a clear picture. In Egypt, we have more than 3,000 churches, about 4,000 priests in big cities, big towns, and also in small villages in desert area and so on. Our Holy Synod consists of 118 bishops, over 120,000 deacons, 51 monasteries for monks and for nuns, 2,000 monks and brothers, less than 2,000 nuns and sisters. In addition to the spiritual aspects that our Holy Mother Church dedicates herself to as its foremost and primary responsibility, she is also devoted to her other national, international, and ecumenical responsibilities. National rule. The Coptic Church is nationally active. One of its main rules is to happily and sustainably serve her beloved country, Egypt, and the Egyptian society with its different communities. It is the backbone of the renowned Al-Azhar institution in supporting society and its continual development. As is why it is my pleasure to mention my great relation with Al-Azhar, which resides with us over Beit Raila. Organization Beit Raila means this family house, and you may assume why we choose to name it so. It expresses our work to come together as one with Egyptian society as we have always been, especially at times like those of the good days when Egypt did not suffer any kinds of friction and we were all one big family. Moreover, the Church has many institutions that serve society, especially people in need, both Christians and Muslims alike. We have schools, hospitals, clinics, training centers, language centers. We run awareness campaigns. We also help families in need and students financing, and regardless of what religion they are part of. The Church has also played a vital role in the preserving Coptic heritage, which represents an important phase of our national history. Coptic history, which has often been ignored in the history of books and academic studies, Coptic music and the Coptic language, on that basis we have established over the years a Coptic Cultural Center in Cairo and Institute of Coptic Studies in Cairo, extensive cooperation with the Egyptian National Coptic Museum. I am currently playing for a very cultural compound in Wadi Al-Matrun, near Al-Bishoy Monastery, my monastery. This project is under my personal supervision. So far, I have relatively highlighted that our Mother Church has always been an inseparable part of society, and her beliefs dedicated that she should always be a provider of services to our society with all its different communities. Other rule is the international rule of our church. Due to the increase in the number of migrating Coptic families since the 60s, the need to establish our Holy Mother Church across worldwide. Over these decades, 28 bishoprics and dioceses have been established abroad under the patronage of the Holy Mother Church. When the late Pope Shenouda was ordained, we have 3 bishops only outside Egypt, 1 in Jerusalem and 2 in Sudan. Now, we have 28 bishops outside Egypt, in different places, in Europe, in America, of course in Canada, in Latin America, in South Africa, in Sudan, in Jerusalem, and also in Australia. 28 bishops. This gives you a picture about the extension of the church to many countries in the world. Over these decades, 28 bishoprics and dioceses have been established abroad under the patronage of the Holy Mother Church. We also have abroad over 400 priests and monks in different parts of the world, in Africa, Asia, Australia, Europe, and North and South America. More than 300 churches, 10 monasteries outside Egypt, 1 hospital in Kenya specializing in AIDS treatment, 7 theological schools and institutes, many cultural centers, including the one in Netherlands and another one in United Kingdom. The third rule is the ecumenical rule. As has been mentioned earlier, the Pope of Alexandria received the title of ecumenical master in ancient times, which extend his spiritual responsibility of being in Christ's charity with other churches in and outside Egypt, linking churches, aiming as a Christian unity and in its purest form, unity in diversity. After my enthronement in November 2012, my first trip was to Rome, where I met with Holiness Francis, Pope of Rome, to celebrate the 40th anniversary since the visit of my great predecessor, Pope Shenouda III, to Pope Paul VI in 1973. Since my enthronement, I visit Italy, Lebanon, United Arab Emirates, Germany, Vienna, Norway, Finland, Netherlands, Switzerland, and in the next few days I will be visiting Russia. All these visits to make good link between our churches outside Egypt and the Mother Church in Egypt. This is very important. And also I encourage many bishops and many priests to make these visits between the growing church outside Egypt with the Mother Church in Egypt. This is very important to keep and protect the Coptic traditions and Coptic Orthodox faith, especially for the second generation, the third generation, and so on. The Coptic Church is a member of All Africa Council of Churches, also member in the Middle East Council of Churches, and also in the World Council of Churches, as well as Canadian Council of Churches. Last but not least, I am very proud to have established the Egypt Council of Churches in Paris 2013. This Council of Egypt Churches include all the Christian churches inside Egypt. This is a very important council, and we work together and serve together, especially in the social aspects. This will help especially the Christians very low in number in Egypt. We have some Christians in their churches, one churches, for example. Therefore, this council will help all these churches. I want to continue working towards global love, peace, and understanding. I would like to mention that the cross represents our relations with all the churches. This relation started by love and continue through study and dialogue and completed by prayer. Therefore, we build our relations with all the churches according to the cross, starting by love, ending by prayer. And the study and the dialogues and discussion to understand each other, this is very important. For example, there is a committee between the Oriental Orthodox churches, Coptic, Syrian, Armenian, Ethiopian, Eritrean, and Indian. And all these church of this family in dialogue with Catholic Church. This annual meeting, 1 year in Vatican and 1 year in one of these churches, the Oriental churches. We encourage this dialogue. We aim to be one in the Christ. We are praying for this unity and peace between all the churches of the world. Point number 4, spiritual characteristics of the Coptic Church. Out of many terms, celebrations and goods that are used in our liturgical prayer and our individual prayer, there are three main terms that we use constantly, over and over again. These three terms are used in every prayer. Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Amen. So be it. This is the most famous three expressions used in the Coptic churches. Kyrie eleison, hallelujah, and amen. These three terms contain the main components of our relation with Christ the Lord. These three terms might present an abstract for the spirituality of our Holy Mother's Church and the nature of her Christian life. It is very remarkable that during the Apostle Day, midnight praise, between every two hosts, host means praise, the Monsignor clergyman stands saying, Amen, Alleluia, Kyrie eleison. So the faithful answer, Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison. We call, Amen, Alleluia, Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison. five items. Career is on a mean, career is a mean, and then we have career is on, career is on, career is on. This is the structure of our spirituality. I will explain. As if the Church wants to present the spiritual life as a pyramid of five steps, its base is the first kyrialeison. Means the repentant and the pure heart. The second step of the spiritual life pyramid is the second kyrialeison. Means merciful heart. The third step is the self-kyrialeison, the sensitive heart. The fourth step is a new year, life of joy. At the top of the pyramid is Amen. In Arabic means honesty. As a step pyramid, every step is particularly important since it acts as a plan for the other. We repeat many times these three terms during midnight prayers. And saying it many times, I mean, Légère, Kyrielaison, three times. First term, Kyrielaison, Lord have mercy. The first three steps, three Kyrielaison, in the pyramid, in the pyramid. Originally, a Greek term that is composed of two elements. Kyrie means Lord, eleison means have mercy. It's one of those non-Christian responses that is widely known and used in the Eastern and Western ecclesiastical practice. In Coptic Church, it's repeated 41 times in the hourly prayers and refers to the Passion of Christ. Some other times we say it once, 3, 10, 100 times, or 400 times in the Good Friday. The first aim of using Kyrielaison is reminding the faithful that we always need repentance to purify our heart. And here we remember the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The second aim is getting, second kyrielaison, is getting the blessing of having a merciful heart. As mentioned in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The third aim is a sensitive heart that feels the pain of others, sins of needy families and children, a heart that prays for the Iraqi people, for example, and those who are persecuted, hearts that is never harmed by the advancement of technology, a heart that is an instrument of God's hand, that achieves mercy and real charity, as mentioned in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it's more blessed to be than to receive. This is the three steps of the spiritual pyramid. As I mentioned, this is the structure of our spirituality. Step number 4 in the pyramid, before the top, is the Alleluia. If you have first repent heart, second merciful heart, third sensitive heart, you will obtain the life of joy. Originally, the term Alleluia is a Hebrew term that is composed of two elements, Hallelu, praise, and Yahweh, the Lord. This word appears many times in the Old Testament, in the Book of Psalms, Book of Tobit, that is a part of the Orthodox Biblical canon, and once in the Book of Revelation in chapter 19. Alleluia, many times in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament only four times, in chapter 19 in Revelation. This is all means the four directions of the earth. It's considered one of the oldest ecclesiastical hymns. It's basically used in the Holy Prayer Agbia during feasts and ecclesiastical occasions. It is chanted in multitude of tones, extended and shorted tone. This term is associated with our church and her joy. Alleluia, which is the life of joy, is the consequence of the three ends of Kyrie Eleison. Or in other words, the three previous steps. Joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, as mentioned in St. Paul's letter to Galatians in chapter 5, verse 22. It's also a sign of spiritual health, because Christianity is the joy in, with, and by Christ. Hence, the New Testament considers the life of prayer, the life of thanksgiving, and the life of joy on the same level of importance and priority. The Gospel asks us to live in prayer, in thanksgiving, and in joy all the time. It's well known also that the word Evangelion, Gospel, means good news, or having news, happiness with the Christ of salvation. The top of the pyramid, or the step of number 5, which complete the structure of the spirituality in my church, originally is Hebrew term Amen, that is used in the same way in all languages, and means peacefully, respond positively, and so be it. It is the last word of the Christian Credo. That is one on the top of the spiritual life pyramid. What is phenomenal about this term is that the word M in Arabic could also be honest. Moreover, in the Book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 10, God says, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." This verse is very important, because the first half of the verse on the earth, the second half in the heaven. Be faithful unto death on the earth, and I will give you crown of life in the heaven. So in Arabic we could think of it also as be honest unto death. So, if you honestly repent, if you honestly are merciful, if you honestly love, you will honestly rejoice, and you will receive the crown of life, as being honest and truthful is your only way to the kingdom of heaven. This is structure is very important, not in the monasteries during the midnight prayers, but during our life, every day. This means that every day you must carry a soul, you must alleluia, you must and this is guidelines for our life. Conclusion. Coming to the end of my talk, I would like to mention that a fuller, more comprehensive account of our body mass research would take a lifetime to present and may not fully sacrifice in presenting all its aspects and details. In my presentation today, I have highlighted only four of the main axes of our body mass research. I would like to heartily thank you for your presence and attention, and would like to thank you for your invitation, and also I invite you to visit our Holy Mother Father Church and our beloved country Egypt. May God bless all of you.
Please be seated.